Hey, it's the Ruler of the Real Podcast.
Barrel Roller coming to you from the Ohio Cup. Right now, the Rochester Grangers are taking on the German Village Nine. They are both in black pants and white tops. German Village absolutely wins the Laundry Award for the whitest of the whites, but they are in the process of getting them destroyed. Hopefully, you're going to the ground. Hey, I got a new guest. 8-minute interview with Corky Gaskell. Corky, how you doing?
I'm doing terrible. Thanks for asking.
All right. Good to know. Corky, what's your vintage baseball nickname?
Goose.
Is Corky your actual first name?
That's a nickname I took. My given name is Charles, same as my dad. And to kind of keep us separate, I took on the nickname of his best friend as a child when he was growing up.
So Chuck. It's Chuck Gaskell. That has kind of a ring to it. Charles.
It rhymes with a lot of words that I've been called. So,
Corey, how'd you get your vintage baseball name, though?
So, in Rochester, Minnesota, we are famous for the Canadian geese coming in. And on top of that, my dad, when he was alive, was big into genealogy. And he traced our roots all the way back to an area of Norway called the Wild Goose Valley. So with those two things, I chose Goose.
Where you at, Goose?
Feel the need.
You just sat down. Just being joined by Rudy Frias, Swamp Fox, the co-host of the day. I didn't know where he went, so I just started. I didn't care. I got no cares.
You don't need me. I'm Goose. You're Maverick.
Ask a question. One that comes to your mind.
First one that comes to my mind. Corky. What if you had to choose a one meal to have for an entire month, and this is the only meal you could have, would it be breakfast, lunch, or dinner? I'm not going to ask you specifically. I just want to know, are you a breakfast guy, a lunch guy, or a dinner guy?
Lunch guy.
Oh, I like it.
Lunch. What is it that you think differentiates lunch from the other meals of the day? When you hear lunch, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it's in the middle of the day, and if I eat then, I'm not waiting too long to be hungry, and I'm not eating too soon to be hungry later in the day. So
true enough. Corky, we're obviously in the future going to have a full episode, if you're up for it. You know, one of those full-length vintage baseball talks I do for about an hour. Obviously, that's not happening today. You have so much knowledge of the game and things like that. So I'm going to give you one vintage baseball question, and then we're going to not talk about vintage baseball.
Can I get a vintage baseball question, too?
You want me to ask you one, or do you want to ask?
Can I ask him one, too?
Go ahead. You can go first if you got one.
Yeah. All right. And if you don't have an answer, that's okay. I know how to get in touch with you. Is there any type of documentation that prohibits the opposing team from vocally interfering or trying to throw off and distract a batter as a pitch is coming in?
None that I've seen.
Okay. Fantastic. That's my question.
That was a quick one. Corky, I'm going to give you this opportunity to address any subject off the top of your head that you're going to be able to get onto hundreds and hundreds of vintage baseball players across the country, because I know you have a lot of these, and we're not even going to get to all of them on the episode that we do in the future. But is there one subject that you would like to address right now?
As far as what something
anything
to changed or just something?
It could be something that's changed. It could be something incarnations of vintage teams do that are not accurate.
Well, let's do this. I'm going to keep it somewhat general, and that is don't get your heels dug in so far that you're not willing to try and learn. And that's what I run into the most is people just said, I'm happy doing this. I'm done doing this. I don't care what we're doing is wrong or not. That's it. And all I'm asking is just give it a chance to learn the history of the game, because it is fun. People think I'm taking fun away when we try to push accuracy. How much great fun is it to do exactly what they were doing back in then? That's, to me, that's the thrill. These guys were doing it that way. So why not try it? So I just don't dig in your heels. Learn, listen. Try it out. Try a game with the way the game was played and see what happens.
Yeah, and on the heels of that, I would just like to piggyback on that thought, is if you're a club that plays by a certain rule set and you've modified the rules to a place you wanted to go with the rules, I guess. And you're set with that. That's fine.
Yep,
that's great. But be open to doing the other ways too. So if you're a fly team, for instance, don't be afraid to go play a bone match. If you're a club like on the East Coast that does no dead ball, you know, it's never dead. Don't be afraid to play a non-dead ball game and vice versa. Play everybody. Play as much as you can. Play as long as you can. But also, as Corgi said, learn the history so you know what the hell you're doing.
That's right. You heard it here. We're talking to you. You know who we're talking about.
Well, the funny thing is, it's not that just that they're not willing to try. It's that they want to continue to play inaccurately, but yet tell the spectators they are playing accurately.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where I kind of get off. It's like, just don't tell them that. Play however you want. I'll play whatever rules you put in front of me. But if you start telling people this was done in 1860 and you can't back it up, then I have.
I mean, there's a lot of things in vintage baseball. We can run through some real quick as we're running out of time in the 8-minute interview. But hands lost. This wasn't a thing, right? It was just simply outs.
Hands was a player. A hand is a player. A hand lost or a hand out, those are okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, if you say two hands, that's like, what two hands do you want me to talk to?
Right.
Right. So, but yes, there's the terminology page on the VBBA.org website is wonderful. I suggest everyone go there, read those terminologies, and understand some of the proper terms to use during the game, because that helps. It helps a lot.
I love it. Corky is, I don't want to take up too much of your 8 minutes, but you're just a wealth of information. I have interviewed Corky here, I think it was 2 years ago, for the Vintage Baseball Podcast, and Corky set up an amazing episode for the VBBP with other members of the Rules and Customs Committee,
yep.
And we just did some rapid-fire questions, and those were really, it was a lot of fun. Now, let's get off of Vintage Baseball. Corky, are you a wine or beer man?
I'm a Diet Mountain Dew man.
I like it.
I drink little to no wine. If I drink a beer, it's a light beer, and I'll have one and stop.
Okay.
But I'm a Diet Dew guy.
Nice. Good to know.
You know, you can only have so many vices. I assume you smoke a lot of hash.
So here's what's funny about your question is that in my car right now, I have 3 cases of Yingling. I have 1 case of Spotted Owl because I am now a beer distributor coming to the East Coast to bring it back to Minnesota because we can't get it.
That I saw that status update on Facebook, and I was like, I wonder what Corky's doing right now.
I was loading up the vehicle with
Yingling. That's amazing.
All right. Thanks, Corky. Thanks for stopping by. I look forward to the full interview in the future. Rudy, thanks for coming back from, I don't know where the hell you even went.
I can't tell you.
Corky, Vintage Baseball owes you a debt of gratitude, and it was good to see you this weekend, my friend.
Absolutely. Blessed to be here and be a part of this event for the last 11 years. It's
the best.
Yeah, it is.
You don't get extra pay for that extra 30 seconds. Bye now.